chair. Oh, kneel down.
Kneel down.
Talk to Jesus.
And talk to Jesus.
And oh,
I know he cares.
And he'll make a way. I know that he will make a way. My God, he will make a way.
God bless you. So, some people know. Dylan injured his foot on Friday at school, and I had taken the children and stuff like that. But I'm a firm believer that he will get healed, even with whatever the doctors say. You know.
Amen.
Amen.
So all day I've been like, I was going through it. People were being rude, and I don't know. I think you guys get kicked out of this. But I went to Bourbon Street on Brown Street. For food, and a lady cut in front of me. I'm like, I'm tired of this. So I'm politely saying, you cut in front of me. I didn't know if you knew that, you know. And I'm hangry. I'm like, oh, I'm so hungry right now. But I was like, you know what, whatever. And you know, so she gets up and pays. Well, I guess her Cash App card was locked or whatever. So they was like, go ahead and come over here. You can pay for your stuff. Well, she's still on the phone with whatever, and I'm like, okay. So I end up paying for my food and getting my food first before. I'm like, look, thank you. I don't know. Amen. I just thought, but if you guys could pray for Dylan. He's not doing good with crutches. He keeps, like, falling, and I'm like, oh.
Well.
But, yeah, keep him in your prayers. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Sing The More That I Surrender. It's 208. Give up. Amen. The more that I surrender, the more you lift me up.
every day I live. Lord, I love you all.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
I just want to thank God, you know, I thank God for this message, and it just, you know, it's good to know what we know, you know.
Yes.
It's just amazing, you know, like sometimes you don't want to say something outside, you know, like when you go out there, it's, you know, it just kick in, you know, what's inside of you. Like sometimes you know, I meet people just like yesterday. I went outside and because I like taking these pictures of this, you know, these trees that is blooming. And there is this guy. I said, sir, can I take a picture of your beautiful tree over there by Baptist Church? And then, you know, so he started talking about the Bible. And I said, oh, yeah, I believe from Genesis to Revelation, you know, like, and then. He says, like, do you know that this is a good church, the Baptist, you know, it's a good community? I said, yes, sir, I do. This and that. Well, sometimes, you know, I would like for you to come here. Just, I said, sir, I have a church to go to. I go to Fairborn Church. So he said, like, what church are you going to go to? What's the name of the church? I said, it's Fairborn Community Tabernacle. And he said, well, I never heard about that. I said, yes, I'm sure you never do, sir. You know, so, but I said, sir, I said, sir, I don't have time to talk to you the whole thing. But I said, you know what? I am so thankful that I have God in me, that God put seed in me, sir. And I said, I know the very message of the hour, sir. Do you know nowadays, sir, there is a message of the hour, this and that? And you know, so he says, like, oh, no, we just sharing about the Bible here. You know, our ministers are so beautiful. You know, we have this funeral, this and that. I said, oh, my God, sir. I said, you know what, sir? I said, I'm just glad I got to meet you, sir. And I said, thank you so much for letting me, you know, take a picture of this beautiful tree. But I have to get home because I said, I went to Tractor Supplies and get my chicken fed. And then I'm still here, like 11:15, you know? So I just stopped by right there. And then this week also, my friend, you know, she says, like, hey, Joy, there is this. I heard this people telling me, like you know those little thing like Noah's ark. I said, yeah, I do. And she says, like, well, this time they said that it's not gonna be like Noah's ark that we're gonna go to. I said, that's right, you cannot find Noah out there building this ark. No, ma'am. I said, there is a message of the hour that, you know, that we're living in right now. And I can tell you, oh my God, when I said that, the veil just dropped on my face, like she doesn't want to hear. I said, well, you know what? You don't want to know, and you don't have to know, but your butt is covered, you know? And then she just said, like, well, thank you. I said, well, you're welcome, because you're my friend, and you treat me good, and that's all that matters, you know? I said, oh, my goodness. I said, you know what? So sometimes I told Sermon, I said, sometimes it's hard not to say something, because I thought, right. I'm thinking, like, I have so much God in me that I can tell people, but when you open your mouth out there, they don't really want to hear that. They really don't, you know? So I'm thinking, like, wow, this world is just, it's just so blind, you know? But I said, I am so thankful that, oh my God, this means I just so amazing that God puts it in me that I can receive this. When I look at the world, they do not have these things. And then when you tell them, it's just like, you know, don't want to hear these things, but I'm so glad that I can receive this.
Amen.
I'm so glad. I believe every word that comes out from that pulpit. I do.
Amen.
And you know what? It cost me to send up this truth, this message. You know, it cost my siblings, my mom, my friends.
Yes.
I come all the way here to send up this message. So, you know, I just feel like I'm strong. I consider myself that I am strong. And I'm right here. Right. Every time, you know, every time something happened to my life, Mike got sick for like 2014. He lead me here. Go to church.
Yes.
Go to church. Right. Even if I'm with you. So I'm here.
Amen.
And so I'm so thankful. I'm blessed. So I just want to praise him this morning.
Amen. Give him praise.
Salam.
The mark
marketplace is empty. No more traffic on the streets. All the buildings all are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewife sees their labor. In the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth has been suspended. As the king comes through the gate. Happy faces light the hallways. Those whose lives has been redeemed. Broken homes that he has mended. Those from prison he has spread. Little children through the ages, hand in hand stand all aglow. Over crippled, broken, ruined, glass and garment, what is known? Oh, the king is coming. Yes, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding. And soon his face I'll see. Oh, the king is coming. Yes, the king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng and the glory of God's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolded, heaven grants and all in place. Heaven's choir is now a symbol. Start to sing amazing grace. Oh, the king is coming. Yes, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and soon his face I'll see. Oh, the king is coming. Yes, the king. Praise God, he's coming for me.
Amen.
Oh, the king is coming. Yes, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and soon his face I'll see. Oh, the king is coming. Yes, the king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Praise God, he's coming for me.
God this morning.
Yes.
I was talking to my son yesterday, and we were just, you know, what's in your heart, you're just going to do it every, all
you
through the week.
That's right.
So I said, David, I said, you know, when as long as the ship's in the harbor, it cannot be tied. And as long as you don't, nothing happens, you know, it stays up and everything's okay. But then when the storms start rolling and resistance starts coming,
yeah,
you'll find out whether you're tired or not.
Amen.
Amen. And I said, David, check your lines. Make sure they're tied.
Amen.
Because this is a time. Well, we see what's going on. They're dropping bombs.
Amen.
Bombs are dropping. They've got our name. The United States got its name on the bomb. And we know that these things have to come to pass. But the bride of Jesus Christ, she knows what it is.
Amen.
She knows who she is. And they said that there's a final voice to the final age, and somebody's going to do the job.
That's right.
Those that are alive and remain, somebody's going to do that.
That's right.
Somebody's going to fulfill that scripture. In times like these, you need an anchor.
Amen.
And in times like these, give me a key. Throw me in. Give me a key. I don't like that one. Give me a G. G usually works. In times like these, you need a Savior. And in times like these, we need an anchor. Rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus. He's the only one. Be very sure.
That's right.
Be If I had anything to say to the bride today, I would say be encouraged. I would
Amen.
Say hang on and don't back up.
Amen.
Dig in. That's what I'm doing. I'm digging in.
Yeah.
And something else I'll share with you, I was meditating on. You know, all these years, I think I'm ready to start serving God now. You know, I was acting like, did I forget that I'm not my own?
Right.
You're not your own.
No.
You've been bought with a price.
Amen.
You don't get up and do what you want to do. What did you even think to ask him? What do you want today?
What do you want me to do?
And I said, oh, Lord, this, I am the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You got to watch how you treat that temple because this is somebody else's property. It's not
Amen.
Yours. Don't treat it all kind of ways. And I said, well, Lord Jesus, I want to show you true respect
Amen.
And true reverence.
Amen.
You know, I want to ask you, what do you want me to do today?
Amen.
I mean, these are your hands. This I've been acting like
That's
this
right.
body is mine.
Yes.
It's not mine. It's yours. I'm bought with a price.
Bought with a price.
I have something to do
Amen.
Or I wouldn't be here.
Amen.
My word to the bride today,
yes.
be encouraged.
Be yes. encouraged.
Don't yeah. back up.
Amen.
Dig in.
Amen.
Because... keep on the firing line.
Amen. I want to jump in here real quick because I can't sit on the front row. You guys all line up.
Yeah.
I want to praise God. You know, I am anchored, you know.
Yes.
I love what David said, strapped in. You know, I love God in simplicity.
Amen.
Strapped in, strapped into this word. And one of the scriptures I love is, in the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
But the Word was made flesh.
Yeah. Right.
And because of that, the Word is made flesh.
Right.
You know, he poured everything
Amen.
Into his bride.
Yeah.
And we're a many, many membered body.
Yeah.
But we are still the Word of God made flesh.
Yes.
And I thank God for that. And I thank God for the yes. simple prescription.
Yes.
Get to the house.
Get to the house.
To get to the house. All these years of getting to the house.
Yes.
That's the thing that's done it for me.
Yes.
Because I've grown in the Word. I've learned balance. I've learned where the Word's at. I've learned the thing that
yes.
gives me peace. I've learned the thing that gives me the answers.
Amen.
And it's the Word of God. It's nothing. People try to make it so complicated. It's not complicated. Our pastor says, see your day and see where you're at in the Scripture.
Amen.
Understand your day. Understand your message. Some people are here. Some people are here. But thank God I'm here.
Yes.
And that's all that matters. And I just thank God for that. I thank God what he's done for me. You know, my
Amen.
Wife said, if if we took as much time as we do getting ready in the morning to come to church as we would, how am I going to bless the body? How am I going to give to God? Just think what we would do. And I just pray, God, I never want to get quiet on God. Never, never. When I'm gone, I want people to say, he praised God. He believed this thing. He stood up for this. And standing up for it's more than just talking. Standing up for it, you pay a price. Standing up for it, you do things. You know, you just live, but when you just live, you do things. And God, everybody does something different. Everybody does something different. But we all do something.
Yes. Amen.
Real quick, Brother Jim, can we see if we get that back projector to come on?
Light bulb's out. The bulb's out. Okay. Sorry ahead, about that.
Amen. I didn't quite catch it. My mind's going everywhere. But anyway, I guess I can talk now. You know, I thank God for the truth, for the revelation of the Word of God. Yes, you know, you're talking about people out in the world that you meet and things like that. You know, they're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, this is for everybody who wants it. But if you don't want it, it's not for you. So, if you want it, it's yours. If you don't want it, you can't have it because you won't give it to somebody who doesn't want it. And I'm thankful I have a desire to want it. But, you know, that was me. That was me. I wanted it. And I want more of it. I want all of this I can get, you know. And as I, you know, as the song we first sang there, you know, the more that I surrender, you know, the more he takes control. The more he does it, the more... You know, easier it is, in other words. Anything you give to, I mean, good or bad, anything you begin to give to is a little hard, you know. But as you give to it more and more, I mean, you take that first puff on a cigarette, you start coughing. It's a little hard. But more you give to it, oh, you smoke all day long, kill yourself. You know?
That's the truth.
But, you know, the first time you get up and testify, I remember the time. It's pretty rough, you know. The devil's all over you, and more than one devil's all over you.
Yeah.
And, you know, not just then. When you get back down, it's even worse. Next morning, it's even worse.
That's right.
But the more that you give, the more he meets you there.
Yes.
And the more he gives you something to say. And but we have come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, and I never want to forget that. I never want to have the devil talk me into stepping back. I don't step back. We don't draw back. You know, we press forward. We press on. And, you know, we have come to the place where we where this bride has always wanted to be, and I never want to ever forget that. You know, we're not coming to it, we're not figuring this thing out, we're not, you know, in one sense we grow into grace and knowledge of the Lord, but that's after you get here.
After
that's after a new birth.
That's right.
You know, that's not coming to a new birth. That's after you're born. I mean, it's you're born.
That's right.
You know,
you're
a real boy now. No more strings on me, you know. I know who I am. I know where I've come from. I know where I'm going. I know my position. I know my job. You know, it's not I'm just learning this thing. It's not I'm just, you know, and that can be your first revelation, you know, and you got to start claiming that. The devil, he's got tricks, you know, and all this and everything. But like I say, the only trick he's got is get you away from what you already know. Get you away from the Word of God. And get you to back down on what God has already revealed to you. And, we can't do that.
That's right.
You know, I mean, not that we can't do that, but we can't do that.
We don't want
to. A revelation is a revelation. That's what God gives. And what God gives, you know, nobody can touch that. Nobody can take that away. So I'm thankful to be where I'm at. I'm thankful for this bride to be where we're at. You know, and you know, it kind of irritates me. My worker, I can explain something to him. Very simple. You know? Just, you know, cut over to this joint. You know, he's cutting out, notching out for some brick. You know, I cut over to here, you know, right to there. He said, I don't know. I just told you what to do. Cut over to here, you know. And I'll try to get a little irritated because they're not even listening. They're so in their mind.
Yeah.
I can't do that. I've never done this, you know. Just follow instructions, you know. And that's all this bride needs to do today. If he says just live, just live.
That's
if he
right.
says get to the house of God, get to the house of
do
God.
It.
You know, if he says you're an overcomer, you're an overcomer. That's your confession everywhere you go. You say that you're more than able everywhere you go, every
that's
devil
right.
you meet, I'm
that's
more than
right.
able. You know, I don't get out there some days and I'm worried about that rooster. I know what that rooster is. I know what I am. So there's
Amen.
No problem there. Sure, the devils attack you. Sure, they come at you. Sure, the doubts, the fears, everything. And but if you notice, the more you get away from the body, the more you get away from the services, that's when he comes.
That's
he tries
right.
to get out there and separate and get you out where you're kind of cold, not thinking on things. But, you know, I come back really quick. I've learned to come back really quick.
Yeah.
You know, you come back slow, don't help.
Yeah.
Get right back in the saddle, you know. Get right back where you be. If you make a mistake, if you fall down, get right back up.
Right.
The Bible says a righteous man fall down 7 times and riseth up again. So every time he knocks me down, get right back up.
Get up.
Now, I was thinking about that rooster the other day. I said, the only way that thing can ever do any damage to me is if I lay down.
Yeah.
As long as I'm on my feet.
That's right.
He ain't got nothing. I can take care of him.
Yeah.
But if I lay down, yeah, he could attack some vital points, my eyes and whatever, you know. But don't lay down in this. There's no reason
don't
to.
Lay down.
He's got another, he's given us an understanding so great. Don't belittle this at all. We've got everything, more than everything that we need in this day. And it's beautiful to me to understand that, to see that. And I wanted to sing a little song, You Can't Make Me Doubt Him. Because that is the devil's answer every time. I will never doubt
never
this
doubt.
Word of God.
That's right.
I'm a believer. Believers don't doubt. Believers believe.
Yes.
Believers believe.
Amen. You can't make me doubt him. No, you can't make me doubt him. Oh, you can't make me doubt him in my heart. No, you can't make me doubt him. About him, you can't make me doubt him in my heart. You can't make me doubt him. No, you can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him in my heart. Oh, you can't make me doubt him, for I know too much about him. Doubt him in my heart.
I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. You can't make me doubt him. No, you can't make me doubt him. No, you can't make me doubt him in my heart. Oh, you can't make me doubt him, 'cause I know too much about him.
I want to thank God for being here this morning. This message on Wednesday was great. I love how Brother Seth and brung it, following what Brother Moore said about the veil. I mean, it's a very, very, it's promising. You know, when the bride can see past that veil. I love that because the world can't see that. I mean, they're so hung up on flesh. And, you know, I always think about this movie, Rush Hour. I don't know if you've seen it. And you had Jackie Chan, you had Chris Tucker, and one of the scenes said, you can't understand the words that's coming out of my mouth. Because all he's, you know, and I thought, that's what the world does, because you're not focusing. All you're looking at is flesh. That's all you're seeing.
Right.
And you
got to
get past that. I mean, this flesh will hang people up big time. It does.
Well,
I mean, you can see it, because all he's so focused on her.
That's
or
it.
Somebody done something 20 years ago, I'm going to hold on to this, I'm holding on to that. Let it go.
Let it go.
We've all done stuff that might have offended your brother and sister. And if I have, I'm asking you today, I'm asking for forgiveness if I offend anybody, because the hour's too late. It's too late. We don't gotta get past that.
Oh,
I mean, we have to really get past that, because it's not the time to be dropping off like flies. This is not the hour. It's not.
Bless you, brother.
We have too much word here for that. We do.
Yeah.
I mean, and it breaks my heart, because it's like, this is not the time to be doing that. And you know, I was sitting there pushing my mower yesterday, and God told me, he said, hey, it ain't about 20 years in this message. This is the heat that doors to the end. You know, and I don't want to set that example for my wife. Like, I don't care if I've been here since 10, if I was 10. It doesn't matter. What am I doing right now in 2024? What am I doing right now? Because it's a present tense God. Who cares about what I've done in the past? Stay with God.
Amen.
Stay with God. And if something happened to me, Sway needs to keep moving. That's she needs right. to keep moving. Don't worry about what I've done. That's right. good and done.
Come on, brother.
Sway, you got to keep moving. Don't Amen. Worry about what I've done. This is your own personal revelation. Amen. And it is. It has to be that personal to you. Even if it's your husband and your wife, if your husband leaves away, if your wife leaves away, you got to know for yourself what this message is to you. It has to be that personal to you. Amen. And God has been dealing with that. And I see it more and more now that this has to be real to you. And you have to yield to this because if not, you'll be just tossed You're like right. everybody
That's
else.
Right.
Man. So I just thank God that I'm still here and I don't plan on going because. Where else can I go?
Where else can I go?
We have the full word here. I don't want part word. I need the word. I need the work. I need help. You know, when you sometimes people go through this life and you don't know you need help, you'll walk around here act like you got it. When you don't got it, you don't got it. I can admit, I need help. I need God to deal with me. Talk to me. I need answers because I can't make it. I can't make it past this word.
Come on.
I can't.
Come on,
I cannot. At least I can admit to that. That's I can't. That's why I take this very serious. I'm not here just playing games. I'm not here just getting out of bed, just coming to church, lollygagging around on my phone, doing this, doing that. No, I'm here to hear the word.
Amen.
If God has come here every single Sunday and Wednesday to rebuke my socks off, so be it.
Amen.
So be it. The word is true no matter what. So I just thank God for being here.
I have some brothers get the offering.
You know, I love this place. I love this message. Yes. And, you know, I was thinking about that. You drive past all these churches, and we're so blessed. And I was thinking, they're going to church so that they don't go to hell, right? That's all they got. Right. And I'm coming to church because I love God. I have a relationship with God, you know?
That's right.
And that's why I'm serving God, not because I'm afraid for something, you know?
Right.
It's so beautiful. When you take away that fear, it's replaced with love.
Yes.
And, you know, I just have so much love. And I was thinking, too, it's like a muscle. If you don't work your muscles... They atrophy, you know? It takes 1 week of not working out for your muscles to turn to fat.
Right.
You know, and you can't sit down at all. You can't wait. You have to get to the house. You have to push. It's a constant push, and I think about that so much. I want to just keep pushing because I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready to work those muscles, get stronger every day. I'm ready to go home, you know? I'm ready for everything. I'm ready for what God has for me today to progress and everything, and I just thank God so much for what he's done for me. Because we are so blessed to know what we know.
Amen.
Like Sister Joy was saying, they just go and talk about the scriptures, and they don't even know what's in them. And I can look at the scriptures. Me and my kids, my children can look at the scriptures and see it. And it's like such a blessing. You know, and I always want to come back and say, thank you, God, for what you've done for me. You know, and I just want to always, you know, you take your hand and you open it up, and God takes out what he doesn't want in there, and he always puts something in there. He has never left me stranded at any point in my life. Every obstacle I come up to, he's already given me the answer to get over that obstacle. So then what am I afraid of? What is there left except for praising God and thanking him for what he's done for me?
Amen.
Okay, this is a rebuke on the devil.
Amen.
Ooh,
Getting.
Listening to the testimonies, I could not let another day go by without getting up and thanking God.
Amen.
Because when you're at home, sometimes you battle with yourself.
That's right.
And I think it was Jesus Clarice said, the biggest battle is in your mind.
That's right.
Oh my God, that is so true. But what everyone was saying this morning, I believe that.
Amen.
And you said, don't wait too long. And I sat over there and I'm like, I can't get by the sister. I don't want to bother her. And then she got up.
Amen.
So I didn't even have an excuse not to just thank God for being here and allowing me to believe this message. He chose me, and I'm so glad he did. I'm thankful for that. And poor pastor, I kind of wore him out one night, but it's just the battle with the mind. He's already chose me.
He's
already seen me finish this.
Amen.
And all I have to do is sit on the bus, read
the
Bible.
That's right.
And
Amen.
Hang on till the end.
That's
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Be the last one.
I'm just glad I made it back to the house one more time.
Thank you, Lord.
The last few services, I've enjoyed the testimony so much. That I've got to get up and say something.
Amen.
First of all, I'm thankful that God put something in me to receive the full word of God. Oh, my. Oh, my. Just thinking about growing up in a different church than this, I was a young man most miserable. Yeah. I was. This word came across my path.
Yes.
And I agreed with it back in 1990. Uh-huh. Amen. But because of listening to the devil, I left. But luckily,
yep.
He called me back.
Amen.
And I've been here ever since. I'm not going anywhere.
Amen.
I'm strapped in with David.
Amen.
I ain't going nowhere. I agree with the word every time I come in here.
Yes.
Amen.
And it's the prescription is right. You need to be here. If you're a believer, you need to be here.
That's right.
And I just thank God for everything. I mean, I've said it before and I'll say it again. From the pastor to the children, we've got the best.
Amen.
I don't care what anybody says, we've got the best right here. Amen.
Amen.
Nope. He's the last one.
God of my present, God of my future, you write my story, you hold it all together. God of my present, God of my future, you write my story, you hold it all together. So I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord, and I'm confident that as seasons change, your faithfulness remains. You are the Alpha and you're Omega. You're in the middle. You hold it all together. You are the Alpha.
Could get my special ready back there. I'd appreciate it.
Amen.
Excited about this song. I found it the other day.
Yes.
I'd heard it before, but this time it just hit different. You know, I started looking at these words, you know, and when you're excited about something, you want to know the details.
That's right.
I'm excited about heaven, you know. I want to know what we're going to do there. Are we going to bow down before him? Are we going to just stand in front of him? Are we going to we're going to talk, laugh, eat?
Come on.
See our loved ones?
Yeah.
We're going to see.
worship you. I can only imagine song. We need to hear from you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And we come for one thing. We need to hear from you. We need a word from you. If we don't hear from you, what will we do? Wanting you more each day, show us your perfect way. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we can't do this in ourselves, but we need to hear from you. We need you to come amongst us, walk these aisles, Lord. You told us in your word where two and three are gathered. Two or three is all you need, that you'd be in our midst. And Lord, we don't come bringing you our thinking, our thoughts, our ideas. But we bring the word of God to the people who you wrote with your own finger. You scribed this message, this word to us. Yes. Yes. But Father, just hearing us and bringing it here to the house is not enough. We need you to come and walk these aisles. We need to hear from you. We need you to reveal yourself to us. Father, there's needs here in this place this morning. Some physical, some mental, some financial. There's needs all around this place. Lord, there's needs around the world. I ask you to touch those who lost their loved ones. Touch the brothers and sisters in Troy who've lost Brother Bill. Brother Bocking. Lord, different ones. And Father, but you've taken them home to be with you. And Lord, they're calling now with all the other millions and millions of people who are waiting just beyond the veil, wanting to get back here so badly for their glorified body. We ask you to just, Lord, move on their behalf. Move on our behalf. The bride, both on both sides of the chasm. Both of us are calling for the same thing. That chasm can't hold us back. We're both calling for the same thing. So now that we have the word laid out before the people this morning, come and open it to our hearts. Change our minds. Change our hearts. Change our soul. Lord, whatever needs to happen this morning, let it happen here today. Thank you for the open book. Thank you for the revelation. Thank you for this word that you've given us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. There's no better place to be. If you're going to get anything from God, you know, people, they're looking for God. They're looking to find God, trying to find Him. But they're looking in the wrong places. Now, see to me, like, if you want to find God, well, if you want to find me, you'd have to go where I live. And there's many other places you can go besides my house. But all those other places, you're not going to find me. You got to find where I am. Same way with finding God. People want to know if God's real. But they don't go to the right place to find out. The very place that they're supposed to go to find out if God's real is the place they leave, or they walk away from, or they don't want nothing to do with. You're not going to find God out there. You're not smart enough. It's not by your education. It's not by you deciding if it's God or not. Matter of fact, you can't even find God unless He reveals Himself to you. You're not going to just find Him. People think, well, I'm just going to go find whether God's real or not. You'll never find out that. You'll never get that answered, because you'll never find God. Because if you're not looking in the house of God, you're not going to find God. If you're not looking in the Word of God, you're not going to find God, because He is the Word. And so if you're looking for God, you got to start here. If you want to know where He's at, because you got to know this for yourself. You can't come in on daddy and mommy. You can't. It's not a family religion. It's not a family rapture. And we're not all going together because we're all just so one big happy family. You must know for yourself that God is dealing with you and you personally. And if He's dealing with you, then you need to go where God is. You say, well, I want God. Well, go where He's at. Don't avoid Him. Don't just say, well, I'm going to go out, I'm going to read, and I'm going to read all these books, and I'm going to study. You know, half the people that are looking for God ain't even serious. And I use that loosely with half. Because they say they're looking for God, but they really don't. They don't. They're not really looking for God. Because if you really wanted to find God, you'll look in His Word. But we'll go and find out what Socrates says. We'll go and find out what Confucius says. We'll go and find out what all these other people are saying. The few that really are seeking, they'll look in all these books. Most people, they say they're looking for God and want to know whether God's real or not. They're not even serious. They're lying to themselves, because they're not even going to do nothing but go home and sit down. You'll never find God sitting at home. Amen. You'll never find God just saying, okay, well, I'm going to go find out whether God is real or not, and then go home and sit down. You're lying to yourself. Amen. Now, I'd be more convinced if I went to your house and I saw stacks and stacks and stacks of books where you're seriously looking for God, whether God's real or not. If I saw that, then I'd say, you're serious. And I'll at least give you some credit for looking. But most people who say they're looking for God ain't looking for God. They're looking for a way out. That's just my observation. Because if you ever get serious about finding God, you are not going to find out whether God is real or not until you get into His Word. You're not going to find whether God is real or not by reading Webster. He ain't gonna quicken nothing out of Webster. He's gonna quicken Himself to you by His Word. So take a little advice from me. If you're serious about finding out whether God is real or not, get to the house. Where the word's going to be preached, because he is the word. It sounds simple to us, but it's hard for people. But it's because you're being tricked by Satan. So, well, I got to find out whether God is real or not. I can see him in the trees. And the birds. And the flowers. I can see him in the day. I was listening yesterday. I don't even remember what it was. Oh, it was National Public Radio. I was listening to them yesterday, and they were trying to describe how the moon came into existence. And they've got that thing so figured out that it's almost laughable. And they say the moon came off the earth as part of it, is out there. But my question is, what causes it to spin? What causes the earth to rotate in a specific rotation? What keeps it balanced? What keeps it moving? What keeps it spinning? Anytime I spun a top, sooner or later, it falls over. But somehow, miraculously, from this Big Bang theory, this world has come into existence, and it's continually spinning. Seasons, everything. You're looking for God? Look around you. It ain't that hard to find God if you're really looking for God. But you got to know what you're looking for. So I want to start over here in a very familiar scripture, Revelation chapter 10. Amen. And I wanted to jump down. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I could, because it's very good reading. But I want to jump down to verse 8. We know above it, the mighty angel came down and he put his foot on land and sea and said, time shall be no more. He did that in the day of the Son of Man, of the coming of the Son of Man. He did that in the day of the seventh angel's messenger, the last angel. The earthly angel and the heavenly angel met together. The heavenly angel gave the earthly angel the book. And so verse 8, this messenger had this book. And it reads, the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. We didn't get this book from the seventh angel. We got it from the one that stood upon the sea and upon the earth. That same angel that had the rainbow about his head. The covenant angel. Now, we want to give Brother Branham credit because he was the earthly angel that was here and God spoke through him. But when it came to getting the book, you don't get that from William Branham. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, same angel, and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. May the Lord add its blessing to the reading. Like the title, the message this morning, Eating the Book. Eating the Book. And I say that, and I titled this because I was thinking about what you have to do when you get a hold of this message. What they had to do when they got hold of the message of every day. They had to eat it. They had to eat it. Number one, you got to find out if the book is the book. See, if the Bible is no different and no better than any other book, then it's just paper. Just like the dictionary. The first thing you got to find out is this the book? You got to know that. And in order to find out whether that book is God's word, you got to look in there and find out what God said. I'm so glad God had prophets. Because prophets prophesied things in this book that took thousands of years to manifest itself. No other book could do that. These 66 books was written by, I think they said 40, so I forget how many authors. Different men at different times. Years and years and years apart. Throughout time. And you got to remember, when these scrolls were written, they weren't in a Bible like this. Oh, we put the scrolls together and made a Bible. But what book can you get a hold of? Just say 10 authors. 10 different men from 10 different parts of the world writing in 10 different areas. And take their books and put them together and it run perfectly. That's why we don't need the book of the Maccabees. Amen. We don't need all those extra things that they've, those scrolls and things they found. We got exactly what we need right now. Those 66 books were ordained of God to be put together. Those 66 books, they go all the way back to Genesis, and there's prophecy in Genesis that goes all the way through to Revelations. Author after author after author. Who didn't even know each other. Remember, Brother Brown talked about Paul when he met that pillar of fire. And I got it here. We're going to look at it a little bit. But when Paul met that pillar of fire, he started preaching just what Peter preached and hadn't met him for 2 years. Amen. That's why you don't have to go around. I don't have to worry about the bride around the world. She will be preaching the same thing. Amen. She will be preaching the same thing. Because it's the same God. Same God that revealed it to me is the same God that reveals it to them. Same God that reveals it to you. That's why you got to speak the same thing. Because if you speak something other than what I speak, then you don't have the right God. You got your own ideas. Oh, I know what I get come from God. You say, how do you know? Because he told me. God talks to you, yes. Every revelation I get came from God. And every revelation I got ties right back into this book. Not every book, but this book. Amen. Oh, sometimes I see specials or hear people talking and they come up with some ideas that I know it ain't God. Because it doesn't match the word. You know, and I'm not even afraid of Big Bang Theory. Because, you know, God is the God, an author of creation. And if you notice the way he created from the smallest all the way up. Oh, he had a way of doing it. I'm not arguing with the scientists. They're just dumb about don't know what they're talking about. They only know what God lets them know. But God uses them to do many things. Scientists have done many good things. And they're guessing. And that carbon dating, I throw that out the window. They say, it could be billions and billions of years old. Because we don't know how long Adam was here. I don't even argue the point. But I do know who created it. I do know who the author is. I do know there is a God. You say, how do you know there's a God? Because he's living in me. Amen. The only way you're going to know God is if he's living in you. That's the only way. You're going to study him? No, you're not going to figure it out at home. You're not going to figure it out at the library. You're not going to figure out going and talking to Fuchsia or whoever.
I don't care who you talk to. If you don't get back to the Word of God, you're going to miss Him. So first you got to find out what the book is. Don't just eat any old book. Well, this author said, don't believe that author. If it doesn't match the Word of God, now if it matches the Word of God, believe Him. It's fine. Break it down. But if it's not according to this author, then it's a lie. And let every man's word be a lie. God's word be true. That's it. You say, well, I'm going to find God. Well, you better look in the Bible. Because that's the only place you're going to find Him. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. What Word? The Word of God. And the thing I love about it is God's Word proves itself. You don't have to prove it. Brother Brown said God interprets His own Word by bringing it to pass. Oh, look around you. The world condition that it's in right now, this was prophesied by God. God said that nobody's going to be able to take Israel's land. They're trying. Yesterday they threw bombs at them, over 100 of them. Didn't work. You'll never take Israel's land. How do you know that? Because the Word of God says so. So first you need to find out what it is that you need to eat. Don't just eat anything. Well, I was told, did it match the word? Well, what makes you so sure that it's the Word? If you look through here, everything that was ever prophesied has come to pass. The Bible, it even says, if a prophet prophesies, I was thinking about that this morning, said if somebody prophesies and it don't come to pass, don't even believe him. Don't worry about him. But if you find somebody who speaks a prophecy and it comes to pass, fear him, because you run into God. Amen. So the prophecies of the Bible are true. Everything that God said He was going to do, He's done. Who else said about 7 church ages coming? Who else said about 7 messengers? Who else talked about a restoration at the end time? Who else talked about, I will restore, saith the Lord? Who else talks about that? You can't find that anywhere. Nowhere but the Word of God. So first of all, you got to recognize that this Bible is thus saith the Lord. Before you eat anything. You don't just eat anything. You first got to figure out what it is you're eating. That's why when Clarice has something on the table, I'll look at it first. I don't just gobble it down. What is this? And that's what people need to do. Look at first and find out what it is you're looking at. If the Bible, first of all, you need to find out if the Bible is the Word of God. Come on, let me help you find out God, if it's God or not. The Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is perfectly interpreted. No other book. No other book can do what this book has done. This is the greatest book there ever was. It tells what was, what is, and what is to come. And you say, well, I'm looking for God. You found Him. The Word of God is God. And now that you found the Word of God, it's not enough just to have a Bible. You got to take the book. You got to eat the book. Do you know you got to eat this Word? You can't spit none of it out. You can't say, I don't agree with this. Well, I don't agree with that. You know what? The first time you start disagreeing, watch what happens to you. Your wheels fall off. All of a sudden, you're not sure about anything. That's how people leave the church. They stop eating. They get unsure. They get unsure about everybody else. Then they get unsure about the pastor. And then they get unsure about the congregation. Then they get unsure about themselves. Then they get unsure about the Word of God. You don't just fall off the wagon just because you just rolled off. It's a process. It's a process. So first you need to find out if it's the Word of God. And only you can decide that. I can't help you. I can tell you it's the Word of God. I can talk to you about it being the Word of God. I can prove to you it's the Word of God. But you know what? You got to know that for yourself. I can do a lot of things for you, but telling you and showing you that this is the Word of God, I can't do that. That's a personal revelation. Because if you don't believe it's the Word of God, you won't eat all of it. You'll pick through it, pick this, pick that, one a little bit of this, one little bit of that. You won't eat it all. You got to want it all. Matter of fact, I love the fact in the book of Revelations that you have to go get it. You didn't. It wasn't force-fed you. It wasn't something that somebody, it wasn't a shotgun wedding. It wasn't somebody making you do this. You got to want this. If you don't want this, it's not for you. I don't care who you are. If you don't want this, it's not yours.
Amen.
That's why I love that you had to go and take the book. He didn't come into you and say, hey, I got something for you. Oh, no, he stood over there with his foot on land and see, said, you come to me. That's why you got to come to the house. You got to come where God is. If you seek him, he can be found. If you really seek him. Like I said, I don't think that people really seek him. It sounds good. It's an easy way out to say, well, I need to go find out for myself. Well, you're not going to find nothing out there in the world. It's going to be in the house of God is where you're going to find God. Is there a real God? Come here and I'll tell you.
Amen.
You go listen to NPR, they'll say no. They got science behind them. But I love the fact that you got to want this. See, just coming to church is not enough, people.
Amen.
Just coming in these doors is not enough. Just warming these benches is not enough. Just doing good is not enough. You got to want this thing. You got to want it. You got to have a desire in you. You said, well, I don't know if I have a desire. Then you know how you're going to get one? Feed that white dog.
Amen.
The more you get, the more you want. When you stop eating, watch your pattern. Watch how you fell out. Somewhere along the line, you stop eating. And when you don't eat, see, nature testifies of these things. If you stop eating in the natural, what? I don't care how muscular you are. I don't care how strong you are. You stop eating in the natural and you will... You'll get weak to death. What's going to happen to me if I stop coming to church? What's going to happen to you if you stop eating in the natural? Same thing. You don't just get weak overnight. You know, when Jay got sick, he got sick and he got weaker and weaker and weaker. He was laying in the bed. Wasn't doing nothing. Wasn't using his muscles. Like you said, your muscles, you a week, 7 days? 7 days make 1 week. I always like that. Now I'm going to apply that to muscles, too, now. You got to work it. You got to push it. You got to want this. I can't help you if you don't want it. I have no words for you. When the moment I find out you don't want it, I have nothing else to say on the subject. I have nothing else to say on the subject. I can talk to you about fishing, golfing, hunting. Whatever. But when it comes to the Word of God, I have no desire to even give it to you, because if you don't believe it's God, then I can't help you. That's why, you know, I've been good friends with people that's left the church over the years. It's like when we get together, so how's the family? Fine. How's the kids? Fine. How's the wife? Fine. Well... Nice of you to stop by. But I get one of y'all over who loves the Word, and we get to talking about the Word of God. We can go hours and hours and hours. Do you know that? Because the only thing we really have in common is this Word. I've always told y'all that. The only thing we have in common is the Word of God and love for the truth. When you lose your love for the truth, I don't have much to say. You say, well, well, you just don't like me. No, it's not that. Well, you're just, you know, you're just, people have a tendency to think you don't like them because they don't go here no more. That is not true. I love you. But if I can't talk to you about my love, then I don't have nothing to, I was like, first thing I want to say is, boy, we had a great time at Easter. Now, can't talk about that. Right. Oh, last Wednesday was a, nope, can't tell them about Seth last Wednesday. Right. Oh, you know, we're doing, nope. Oh, you, that's my life. That's all I breathe. That's all I love. That's all I do. That's all I am. And when you don't want that part of me, you don't want me. Because you can't separate a man from his message. And I don't have anything else. Golf, I'm awful at. I can't play golf. I can't do sports well. I can't fish well. I can't do nothing well. But one thing I can do well, I can love God, I can love His Word, and I can talk about Him all day long. I can get up here and preach for 2-3 hours and never get tired. I cut it off for y'all's sake. It ain't because, oh, okay, I can't finish this no more. Oh, no, I got more to say. Oh, I'm a, see, that's because that's where my life is in here. It's my life. That's what comes out of me. If you want to know what comes out of me, the Word comes out of me. It's in me. I took the book. I ate the book. I took it all in. You said, well, don't you want to just double check this? No. No. Don't you need to go and find a second opinion? No. When you got a good doctor, you don't need a second opinion. Dr. Jesus is the best. He's right where I need Him to be, inside of me. So that book, you have to first recognize that that book is the final say on any subject. And if you don't believe that, then you're voted off the island. There's nothing for you here. You said, don't you want to try to convince me? Mm-mm. You don't. I don't come. See, y'all come looking for me. I don't bring the bus by your house. Time to go, Isaiah. Let's get on. Thomas is going to go to church. No. I come here with the Word of God. You come find me if you want the Word of God. If you want to hear what God's talking about today, you come find me. That's the way it is. That little book. You have to go find it. You have to go want it. You have to want this Bible. Amen. He said, when I don't believe the Bible's the final say-so, then we're through. How do we know there's not another book that's more important? Because there's not. How do you know? I know because I've read this one, and this is the only one that I know of that can tell you everything. And besides, when you find that this is the book, you have to have faith in that book. Faith comes by hearing. You can't get faith at home. You can't get faith at the library. You can't, and faith is a revelation. Don't forget that. I got a revelation that the Bible is the Word of God. That has to be revealed to you. You have to know for yourself that this is the Word of God. And that's not something that's transferable. It's not. Amen. You say, oh, I want to know. I want to know like you do. Oh, no, you got to know for yourself. Because if you don't know for yourself, that Bible is just like a Webster dictionary. You'll pick and choose the words that you want out of it. But if you have a revelation that this is the Word of God, then whatever the Word of God says, I'll do. That's how this thing works. He says it, I believe Him, and then because I have faith in His Word, and His Word is in me, I'll do His Word. So you got to want this. You gotta want. You gotta know this is God's word by faith. That's the only way to know it's God's word. There's no other way. No other way. You say, well, I want to go and study the Hebrew and Greek. Go ahead. I want to go and look in the library and see if I could find out about King James. See if he was really, when he wrote this, King James didn't write this Bible. He just had people interpret it and put it in English. The Bible was already written. It's written by God. And you got to have confidence. You say, well, I don't believe that the Bible is the only way. Then you don't have a way. I'm sorry. It's nice to be able to think there's another way. It makes you sleep better at night when you think there's another way. But there is no other way. I would be wasting my time to tell you there's two or three ways to get there. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way into the Father but by me. Amen. Now that came out of here. If you don't believe that, then you don't believe nothing. Amen. You say, you're taking away my rest. I hope to take away your rest, because I don't want you to rest on anything but the Word of God. Amen. There is no rest in your thinking. There is no rest in your education. There is no rest in your smartness. It's the Word of God and the Word of God alone. You say, well, that's good for you, but I don't believe that. Then you're an unbeliever. Eating the book. You got to recognize that the Bible is the Word of God and there's no other way. You got to know that for yourself. I can't help you to get there. I can. You got to come and get the book. You got to come and say, God, I want this book. Give it to me. You got to take it yourself. I can't do that for you. I can't eat the Word of God for you. I can't believe for you. I can't save for you. You got to come to this altar like God did everybody else. Told you it's a year of this buckling down and getting sincere. You got to do this. You can't play games with this. Life and death is on your door. You say, well, if I'm predestinated, I'll be there. If you don't believe the Word of God, you don't believe in predestination. There's only one way in. And that's through Jesus Christ. And it won't be by your education. It won't be by your smartness. It won't even be by you being nice. You got to eat the book. And you got to know the book is the book. You got to know that. You got to know this Bible is the only way in. If I want God, I got to come through the Bible. Not going to find him any other way. You say, what if there's not a God? Then you don't need the Bible. Go on your merry way. Serve yourself. Okay. Don just said the fool said there is no God. You calling people fools? I think that's what the Word says. Now, the thing I love about this word here, Revelation 10, is that at the opening of the seals, it revealed the entire Bible. Nobody's had any more word than we have. If you can't serve God now, amen. You can never serve God. There's nothing in you. I mean, we've got it made. Yeah. Do you realize down through the ages, all they had a partial understanding of the Word of God? They couldn't see the whole picture. We can see the whole picture. Amen. If you can't take that book now, you'll never want it. Yes. If anybody should be able to run after this book, it should be us. Amen. If anybody should be able to say, give me that book, it should be us. Amen. Because now we see all the answers. Amen. You say, how do you know it was God? Everything he prophesied, he's already fulfilled. Amen. Seven messengers have already come and gone. Seven churches have already come and gone. The bride has already been built. She's already on her feet. We're at the end of the end of the end. Once you get to the end of the movie, people, you know the whole story. You've seen it all. When you first come into the movie theater and you sit down with your popcorn and you're like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. But at the end of the movie, you shouldn't be sitting there still wondering, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. At the end of the movie, we should be easily convinced that it's God. Oh, I know what happened in the beginning. I know about the fall. I know about salvation. I know about the cross at Calvary. I know about the kinsman redeemer. I know about the church being made and built. I know about the restoration of the word. I understand about the falling away. I understand about the prophet at the end time. I understand about the caterpillar, palmer worm, canker worm. I understand about all these things. We're at the end of it now. If you can't see God now, you'll never see him. So I'm going to go look at a Baptist church. You're missing. I'm going to check sight. You're missing. Without the prophet, without Revelation 10, verse 7, you'll never understand the entire Bible. And if you want to find God, you got to understand the book. You got to understand this is his book. Because this is what you got to eat. And you got to eat it all now. You know, every age, I love this. Every age ate all the word that was available for that day. I love that. That made so much sense after I got a revelation of that. That it wasn't them turning the word down and causing it to go in, but it was all God gave them. That's all they needed for that day. But what about today? We need the whole book. We need a prophet to bring us all things. The seals are ripped off so that we can sit here and have a clear understanding. If you can't have a clear understanding now, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Well, I don't know who's right, and you better find out. See, that's another cop-out. They say, I don't know who's right. But then they don't do nothing about it. They ain't interested in finding out. They're going to go home and sit on their laurels. Well, I don't know who's right. That's like the brother told me. He said, well, when I get rid of this, I'm coming out to your church. I said, why are you going to come? If you can do all that, Jesus Christ died in vain. But he never showed up. You know what? He's a pastor. He's a minister in a Baptist church. I know. He don't know that I remember he said that. But I remember... God remembers. He never made it here. But you got to do this for real. This isn't a game. This isn't something to play around with. Your life is at stake. Your family is at stake. Your loved ones are at stake. Oh, I've heard many people say, well, I'm taking my loved ones with me. Hallelujah. And they walk out the door. You ain't taking yourself, let alone somebody else. Do you realize when you walk away from this revelation, you walk away from all the benefits? Do you know there's benefits in serving God? If I didn't have nothing else but the benefit of raising my kids under something that's other than Scientology and scientific world and the educational system, if it were for nothing, if I didn't serve God for nothing else, I'd do it for my kids. Because if it doesn't do nothing else, take them into Sunday school. Dwayne, tell them not to hit each other. They get some foundations. They get some base. You say, well, you're brainwashing them. They need brainwashed. This world is awful. And they're not going to teach your kids manners out there. They're not going to teach the basics, ABCs of always believe Christ out there. They'll be raised up just like the Gentile heathens that we've always been. You say, that's pretty tough. It's the truth. And I didn't serve God for my kids, because I served God before my kids were here. I've served God when I had kids. I've served God since I've had kids. And I've served God now that my kids are grown and on their own. Whether they're here or not, I'm serving God. It's not about me doing this for them. Oh, no, I do this for me. I do this for me. But you know what? You get benefits in bringing your kids to Sunday school. You get benefits for coming to church. And you get benefits for having a body of believers behind you. That's just the basics. That's just the basics. There's so many benefits. You get benefits of taking your loved ones. You get benefits of a rest to be able to go home and sleep at night and not worry whether some devil's going to take your life. You get benefits of knowing that if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I got another one. These are benefits that you get when you have God. You don't get those benefits in any other book. Notice Revelation 10, 1 through 7. All the mysteries are to be revealed to the bride by the messenger of the Laodicean church. Has anybody got the Revised Version Bible? Listen to what Brother Branham said. If you have, you'll notice where it says the angel. In the parentheses, it says the eagle. Didn't know that, did you? See? Uh-huh. The messenger to the Laodicean church, see? Revelation 10, 1 through 7. And he said that in that day, that he's seen him come down, and he ate up the little book. And there was, he put his foot on land and on sea, and swore by him that liveth, and ever, time shall be no more. And when he did, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, John said he was about to write, and he said, don't write it. See? And he sealed it. Now someone says, well, the seven seals then, Brother Branham, that'll be revealed in the last day. Some great mystery, how to get closer to God. No, sir, it can't be. Whosoever shall take one word from the Bible or add one word to it, his part shall be taken. The book of life. What is it? It's a revelation on what had been missed back there to bring. It's already wrote here. It's here. It's to reveal what's already been written, see? Because you can't add one thing to it and take one word from it. This revelation that we have here in the book of Revelation, it's the entire word of God revealed to the bride at the end time. That's what he said, take and eat. Eat the entire thing, the entire message. Like Brother Childers says, say all that Brother Branham said. Take all his messages. When he changed, you change. When he got a deeper revelation, you get a deeper revelation. We got to take it all. You don't add to, you don't take away from it, but you got to eat it. People say, well, what do you mean got to eat it? You got to take it in. Whenever you eat, you are what you eat. If you eat the Word of God, you are the Word of God. You got to eat. You say, well, I don't understand this eat thing. Well, he said we got to eat. Well, let's go over here and read. John chapter 6, verse 48. I am the bread of life. I am that bread of life. That's what Jesus said. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. See, that was natural bread. This is the bread which come down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. You got to eat him. Say, well, that's awful. Gotta eat him. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews said amongst themselves, saying, so here's the smart guys. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Unless you eat this, there's no life. Amen. I don't care how smart you are. Our biggest problem, see, Brother Branham just said it right. He said, education takes us that much farther away from God. I'm not against education. He wasn't against education. But when your education gets you in the way of your revelation, you got to drop your education. Whosoever eat of my flesh and drink my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwell in me, and I in him. Amen. How are you going to find out where God is? Eat his flesh. Eat his word. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by my Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. We live by what we eat. That's why all we have is the word. That's all we are. All I'm interested in. I'll do other things in this world and do what I have to do to get by. But really, my heart's the word. My goal's the word. My life's the word. I was telling Isaiah somewhat of how I come about. And as I was telling him about my life and the jobs, and every time I moved, and it sort of hit me when I was telling him this. Every time I moved, I told him, God said, and then moved somewhere, God said. And I started thinking about it. I said, every time I moved, God told me to do that. I mean, I moved from job to job to job to job, not because I wasn't a good employee, not because I was getting fired. Matter of fact, I was the best employee. Every job I ever ended up, I ended up being the lead. Every one of them. And so when I left, I'd always leave, not because I was being forced out. I wasn't like coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah and the angels whipping us. No. I left because God said move. And I was telling him a little bit of my history because he didn't know some of my jobs and history. And I started telling him, and the more I was talking, I'm thinking, every time I moved is because God said. He's my life. He really is. I'm not just playing, y'all. He's really my life. I left jobs and left my accountant mad. She still to this day get on me. And she should have never left the hospital. It's like, I can't listen to her. I got to listen to God. You know, when I got out of ROTC, my major looked at me and said, Nate, you really want to do this? You really want to do this? I said, yes, sir. So everyone, all the way through, it's always been God moving. I had them lay me off one time. I told my boss, I said, you laying everybody else off? Lay me off so I can go do what I need to do. Because I'll go down with the ship. I won't just quit. Right. And so he laid me off because I asked him to. Because God said move. Yeah. But that's what we do. That's who we are. Right. We move as God moves us. And it's really our life. We live where we live because of what we believe. We've made these moves. We've moved our houses. But, you know, it's always close enough to get to church. Somehow, I always can make it to the house. I want to be here. I know where God is. I know God speaks in this place. He says, is this the only place? No, but I'm not worried about the other places. I'm just talking for myself. You got to talk for yourself. See, that's the thing you got to understand. This is a personal revelation. And God's got to talk to you. About you, just like he had talked to me about me. When Melanie got ready to move from D.C., I didn't even talk to her about it. I purposely didn't. I thought, let's just see what God wants her to do. And she could have moved anywhere in the world. And I'm like, I ain't touching this with a 10-foot pole. So she never asked me. And I never made a comment. I thought, let's just see what God wants. Because, see, you're going to do what's in your heart. You're going to do what's in your heart. And you don't have to be persuaded one way or the other. If this ain't for you, sooner or later, you're going to trip up. Like I said, I can outlast you. If it ain't for you, and you're sitting here, and you don't even know if it's real, and you're not sure about yourself, you're not sure about this message, you're not sure about this Revelations 10, I don't know. You're just hanging there. Right. By and by, one way or the other, you'll either trip in or trip out. That's right. One or the other. So Melanie ended up saying, well, help me to find a house in Ohio. I said, amen. Okay. I didn't make a move until she said that's what she wanted. That's like when Jim first come to the message. Jim and I were friends, and Jim was in Indiana, and I was in Ohio, and man, I wanted Jim to move to Ohio because I know I had a good church. But I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I was waiting on Brother Childers. And then Brother Childers and Jim talked. Brother Childers said, yeah, move him on over here. I got my truck. I ran over to Indiana, my little truck, and loaded his two bags and a chair or whatever it was. Loaded it up, left his mama crying in the window. I didn't care. Took Jim, brought him to Ohio, took him to Myers, got him an application. I thought, if you're going to be here, you're going to work, because we don't believe in lazy men. So got him a job at Myers, got it started, and now Jim's here. But you don't move till God moves. Some people God wants here, some don't. Remember Jesus when he was picking his disciples? He didn't take everybody. Some of you walk up to a hill and say, go home. Some he'd walk to say, drop your nets, come fish with me. So God knows what he's doing with us. Amen. We just need to have faith in God, because, you know, it's a personal relationship with you and God. Yes, you have leadership. Yes, you have headship. Yes, you have fivefold ministry. Yes, you have pastor. But still, when it all said and done, when it's said and done, what you feel and believe had better match the word of God. And believe you me, if you're feeling it, don't you know I don't know about it? Because it's my job. You say, well, I don't believe you know anything. Well, I'm not worrying about your unbelief. I believe it's God. I believe God talks to me. I believe God directs me. I believe God tells me what to tell you. I believe that. I wouldn't do it if I didn't. Like Jesus said, if it weren't so, I would have told you. If it wasn't that I believed that, I wouldn't be doing this. I don't do this for your own money. I'm only dealing with people who can pick this up. See, the thing is, if you can't pick it up, it's not for you. I feel bad for you, because I wish you could have the rest and peace that I have. I mean, I would love the whole world to have this rest and peace. They wouldn't be fighting each other and killing each other and doing all this stuff. I say, there's just so much. The devil's just got this place upside down, inside out. And he's got the world so crazy, and he can make men do anything he wants now. I mean, they used to have morals, they used to have some standards and all that. That's all out the window. It's gone. It's gone. I see some of the weirdest looking dressed people and weirdest color hair and weirdest everything. And I think sometimes the devil just makes fun of them. Says, how he went to God and said, I bet you I can get Job. I think the devil goes and says, I bet you I can make her hair purple. Lime green. I can make him lime green. I think the devil does that. I know, nah, you know. But now, they just, anything goes. They don't care. They look like demons to me. Because some of it looks so weird and so odd. And I'm sorry if I'm stepping on your toes or saying something you don't want to hear. I got to tell it anyway. They look so weird. I think, why would you want to look like that? It's demons. Who are you going to help? Who are you going to do? It's demons. And we allow Satan to trick us into the stuff, and we do all this stuff, and we don't even look normal anymore. But you wonder sometimes, you say, well, if the word of God was in their life, it would humble them. It would settle them down. When you get the word of God in your life, it settles you down. You don't have to make statements. That's what people, they want to make statements. That's why they do what they do. Walk around with their pants down. I saw a guy the other day. I was driving out to my rental property, and he's walking. And he took about 5 or 6 steps, then he had to go. Now, he's walking up 35, I think it was. And I'm thinking, you got a long way to go to get wherever you're going. And you're going to be doing that every 5 or 10 steps. I said, why? It's just, some of it defies common sense. But we're in such a condition now. This is the fullness of God and the fullness of Satan. If Brother Branham thought he saw him in J.C. Penney, oh, Lord, he ought to see him now. He threw a fit because he first time he saw a woman with eyeshadow on. I get tickled with this. Brother Branham, I'll get back here in a minute, but I got to tell you this. Brother Branham was sitting there getting ready to preach, and I don't know what year it was, but he saw a woman with the blue behind her eyelids, and he stand up there, and he looked at her brother. He said, he says, this woman's sick. He says, this, so pray for her. And he said, no, Brother Branham, that's eye makeup. That's first time he thought she was cankered and had some kind of, he's going to pray. I think if he was here now, he'd be praying for a lot of people because they have gone off the rails. Everybody just expresses whatever they want, however they want, do what they want, dress how they want, be like they want, and you better not say nothing about it because it's their right. Laodicea, the age of equal rights. You don't understand. We're getting suckered into the age that we're living in. You don't have a right not to serve God. You don't. You say, I have a right to believe or not. No, you don't. Somebody said it earlier, bought with a price. You're not your own. But in this hour that we're living in, everybody's their own boss. Everybody's got to say so. Everybody's got a right. Everybody's got a right. You don't have a right. I don't have a right. We've never had a right. But now in the hour that we're living in, the age that we're living in, that spirit is so rampant, you don't have a right to stay home. You don't have a right to disbelieve God's word. You don't have a right to do anything but serve God. But they won't do it because there's nothing in them. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus was speaking to the disciples and he was talking to the people just like we're doing. But people will spit it between their fingers. They don't want it. They don't want the answers that God has given in this hour. They don't want to have a prophet that has all the answers. So Jesus spoke to the people. And the disciples came, verse 10, verse chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why are you doing this, Lord? Every time you talk in such a way, you make them mad. They run off. They leave you. If you sweeten it up a little bit, if you settle down a little bit, if you widen it or made it a little bit easier for people, maybe they would stay with you. Pastor Moore, why are your church emptying out? Why are people leaving you? Why they're walking away? And he answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it's not given. If God don't give it to you, you can't get it. You can't develop a love for the truth. You can't develop a desire to serve God. You don't just come up with this. There's got to be something on the inside of the inside that calls to you and pulls you. And you say, I don't have that, then I can't help you. If you don't have something inside of you calling to you, and I'm not talking about Satan lying to you and telling you you don't. I'm saying there should be something inside of you that when you hear the word of God, you say, stop, wait a minute. Hold on, there's something new, there's something to this. I need more of this. I gotta understand it. Even if you don't understand, you stick around to find out. You don't just walk away just, well, I don't know. Who knows is right? Who knows what's right? I know what's right. If you don't know, ask somebody who does know. It's not even in them to believe. It's not even for them to know the mysteries of the kingdom. For whosoever hath, hath what? Hath an ear to hear? Has a seed? Has a predestinated germ? He that hath, to him shall be given. I'll give you an understanding. You know what he would do with the disciples? He would preach in front of everybody and parable. And then he'd take the disciples aside when they're eating fish around the fire and explain it to them. He'd get back in public and say, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Pull the disciples aside and say, that's the Spirit of God. I got to give my life. But you got to have the Spirit of God that had a life in you. And the disciples are like, oh. But he'd get in front of people and call them vipers. He'd call them this, that, and he'd call the other, everything under the sun. running them off. You know, you can't run off a seed. You cannot run off a seed because they have an ear to hear in here. And when they hear the word of God, they know they're wrong. They say, you know, I know I'm no good. But what must I do? What do I need? Where do I need to straighten up? That's a seed of God for you. Not somebody just going to just give up. You know, they sing the song, give up and let Jesus. They don't let Jesus take over. They just give up. They stop singing after give up. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundantly. You will get more. I have more now than I ever dreamed I'd ever get from God. When I first gave my heart to Jesus Christ, I thought it was the salvation of my soul. But once I gave it to him, I found out that I was always the one he was after. I found out that I wasn't lost, but I belonged to him, and he come to get me back. I come to find out that God purposely done all these things for me. I come to find I have benefits. I have loved ones. I have things to do. I have a job. I'm in the Bible. I am the Word of God. I found out all these things. All because I came and gave him it all. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. I don't see what you're talking about. I don't get this. I don't understand why you make it so important. I don't really think it has to be number one in my life. I believe in being a good person, and Christianity does make people good people, but I can be a good person without being a Christian. That's true. But good people go to hell. I can have a good marriage without having the church. That's true. I know a lot of good people who have good marriages, raise their kids, do the right thing, on and on and on, and no God in there at all. You don't have to have God to be married. You don't have to have God to be good. You don't have to have God to be nice. But it sure helps. If in this life only we had hope, you're miserable. I remember, I think it was Doug and Renee, when they thought they knew better. They got their little stuff and packed up and went home. And the whole time they're at home, they're waiting for the axe to drop. They're like, I know we should be there. I know we should be there. I tell you something they didn't tell you. But then they come back and they're like, not, they rest. Peace. Can sleep. Not waiting for the other shoe to drop. Don't have to. You know, that's a seed of God. If you're a seed of God, even when you walk away from God, God's going to hound you. Amen. He's going to hound you because you're his seed and you're coming back. Amen. Oh, you are coming back. Every seed of God comes back. Amen. Every seed of God will manifest the word of God. And you might run, you might run, you might run, but somewhere along the way, God's going to break your leg and bring you back to the fold. So I don't have to worry about you. I just hate to see you suffer while you're waiting. Right. I hate to see you looking around every corner, right, making, you know, living, trying to figure it out. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. I don't understand. I don't understand this message. It is so easy now that our children are learning in Sunday school. You know where you're having a problem is because you're using your education to try to make it make sense. This is past finding out. You're not going to understand it by your education. It's going to take faith. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. It's going to take faith to believe the word of God. It's going to take faith for you to step out on him. It's going to take faith for you to do anything. You say, well, I don't have faith. How do I get faith? Come to church. Faith coming by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. How can you hear except to be preached? Can't even hear unless you get to the house of God. Say, well, I'm going to find it at home. You're not finding nothing at home. Yet Satan's lying to you. You can't get faith at home. And do you realize you have to have faith to eat the book? You can't eat the book until you come here and hear it. And when you hear it, you say, I believe that. That's eating the book. Hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. Here's another prophecy, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed. They see, they close their eyes on purpose. Brother Brown said, a man that goes in the basement, shuts all the shades and closes curtains and says that there's no sun, sun's not shining, said that man is in a delusion. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and shall understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. If you just open your eyes and open your ears, you can hear what God's saying and be converted. But some people don't want to be converted. They don't want to be, because you know what? They had too much fun out here in the world. The world's fun. Satan offers a lot more than God does. Satan takes you up there on the pinnacle and offers you, you can have all of this. I'll give it to you if you bow down to me. Do you know what? You should do just like Jesus said. This belongs to me. What are you talking about? You ain't giving me nothing. It belongs to me. That's like Clary's handing me my wallet. That's like, I'm going to do you a favor, and I'm going to give you your wallet. That's mine. Do you realize this world belongs to us? Do you know all this stuff that Satan's trying to offer out here in this perverted world? It's ours. It just needs a burning. It just needs a little cleaning up. It belongs to us just as much as it belonged to Jesus. And he said, "Ah, you're not going to give me nothing. It belongs to me." Amen. For blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. You say, well, you're being pretty rough. I got to be rough because I don't want you to lull yourself to sleep and think you're okay when you're not. You got to want this book. You got to realize that this book is the only book that has salvation in it. And the only way to heaven is through this book. And then you got to eat it. You say, well, if I eat it, I have to drop this. I've laid it down. I can't do this. I can't do that. You do so much can't. Let's look at what you can do. See, we always look at the don'ts. Thou shalt nots. Let's look at the thou shalts. I'll be able to rest at night. I have eternal security. I can take my loved ones. I have a peace of mind. I can go to work and not worry about whether Satan's going to come in here and blow the place up. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, when and if, I got another one waiting on me. I got so much going. With the word of God, I got more positives than negatives. But Satan draws a picture to make you feel like you're missing out. You ain't missing out. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, listen to what Brother Branham said. So I like my little eagle last night. He's talking about the eagle story, the eagle and the egg. He knew when he heard the scream of the mother's eagle. There's a lot of difference between that and the cluck of a hen. See, because he was an eagle from an egg. He wasn't made an eagle right then. He was always an eagle. You didn't just become a believer. You were always a believer. You always were a son, but you just didn't know what to believe. When you heard the truth, you believe that. He says, and a Christian always was. You didn't just become a Christian. You always was. Christian is Christ-like, word-like. You are the living word of God manifesting right now. And a Christian always was. That's the reason the divorce, when you divorced, because you were trapped into it, see? By your first parents, Adam and Eve, you became a sinner by nature. You didn't want to be. But now you heard the gospel And faith comes by hearing. Revelation comes by hearing. There is a little something inside of you. See, when it didn't take God to have to twist our arm to get us to come and take the book. There was something always inside of me wanting it. I just didn't know what it was. I didn't know where to find it. I didn't know how to find it. There was no way to get a hold of it. There was a calling inside of me for this message right here. Right here, right now, what I'm doing. I had a call inside of me for that and didn't even know what to call it. Didn't even know what it was. Never fit in. Never could make things rhyme. Never could make it work. But then when I heard the word of God brought by the hour that we're living in, by the prophet of our hour, something inside of me said, that is nothing but the truth. Amen. And every time I'd come here and Brother Childers would preach, I'd say, that is nothing but the truth. For you to walk away, there's something you don't believe is the truth. Amen. I got to say it. Amen. You got to have that inside of you, that inside teacher. When it hears the word of God, it identifies with the word of God automatically. You didn't want to be in this world like this, but you were captured in this thing, but you were always a Christian. You always wanted to be right. But when you heard the word of God, then the Christ-like that's in you started manifesting. The word started manifesting out through you. You said, well, I'm going to figure this out. Once I figure it out, I'll let you know what I decide. I don't care what you decide. It's not your decision. You say, I'm going to study. I'm going to look. Like I said, 50%. I'm going to raise that. 99.9% of the people who say, I'm going to go find out for myself. You'll never do it. How many books have you read since you discovered that? How many trips are you taking to Jerusalem? And how many? Hey, I don't think you're even serious about it. You call it that, but you're just really going home. Just admit it. Because I don't believe you. You say it, I don't believe you. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You'll never figure it out. The only way in is in. You say, well, I want to know if that's God. Well, you won't know it till you get in. You're not going to figure it out. If it were that easy, everybody'd figure it out. But see, the thing is, by faith, you got to take him at his word. You say, well, I don't have faith. Well, you got to come where the word is to get faith. See, you cannot build your faith at home. You got to be here. You got to be where the word is. You say, well, I'll just sit at home, and I'll just be one of those believers that sits at home. And Satan's got you right where he wants you. He's got you acting like you love it, but you really don't. With the mouth, you say, oh, I love it. But in your heart and in your actions speaks louder than your words. I don't care what you say. You might be a good person, and you are. You might even still be listening to the internet. I don't know. Whether you are or not, just being a good person doesn't make you ready for heaven. You're never going to figure it out. It's past finding out. God's got to do it. If God doesn't do it, it won't get done. We find now the only way that he can reveal is to come into you. See, that's the only way God can do it. You're not going to educate yourself outside and then figure God's right and then come to him. You're going to have to come to him and believe that he is God. Then he'll give it to you. Only way that he can reveal is to come into you. If you're seriously wanting to find out whether God is true or not, come to the house. Because you need the preacher to preach to you to get it revealed to you. And outside of that, you'll never get it. That's why they don't come back. We find out now the only way that he can reveal is to come into you. He is, he can, he is the Word. And the Word in you, then the Holy Spirit reveals Christ through the Word. See, you got to come here and get the Word first. You don't get the Holy Ghost just because you hear me speaking. He's got to walk down off of this pulpit, climb down that aisle, go into your seat and whisper into your heart and let you know exactly what he's saying. Just hearing me is not enough. Got to be revealed. He gets in you. He is in you. You must take his word. Say, well, my church don't believe that. All right, you'll never get in. See? When you refuse the word, you're refusing him. Do you hear that? When you turn down the word, you're turning down God. You say, but I got to go find God. You can't find God without finding the word first. He is the word. And if you don't want the word, but you want God, you can't have it. All right, you'll never get in. See, when you refuse the word, you're refusing him. Well, my church believes in doing it this way, but the Bible says do it this way. This is the way. Take it like it's written there. Not what somebody else has added to it, but what God says about it. And then he can reveal it to you. But he's got to get into you first. Then and only can he reveal it. See, you got to have the word brought to you before you can have it revealed to you. You say, I want to know if it's really God. Then get the word. Don't stand and look at it and try to figure it out. Like the Pharisees said, they stood and looked at him and said, this man is Beelzebub. They can't figure it out. They had to give it a name. They said, this man does this by the spirit of the devil. He is a Beelzebub, a fortune teller. Why don't have nothing to do with that fellow. He was born in sin. He doesn't have our fellowship card. He doesn't belong to us. And oh my, well, we don't even know where he went to school at. He has no education. Why, well, where did this man come from? Now he says, the Son of Man that's going to ascend into heaven descended down. He was born right here. He's crazy. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, he's a cannibal. And he did that just by making them say, and he did that just to make them say those things. They had to do it. So this word is preached in such a way that the believer's drawn to it, but the unbelievers is driven from it. Which one are you? Are you coming more towards it, or are you running from it? And you alone can answer that. I can tell you what I think. I can tell you what I figure. I can tell you what I see, but it's between you and God. If you're feeling far away from God, like the saying says, who moved? God's been here as long as I've been here. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is written, Brother Branham said, that man should not live by bread alone, but that's the physical life. But by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, not just part of it. Right. Oh, I believe the Bible, but I just don't know if it's for me. Then it's not. Not just part of it, a little piece here and there, but by every word, man shall live by the bread of life. And what is the word of God? It's life, spirit, life. And when that's manifested, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall also. More than that shall I do, because I go to my Father. When that word gets in you, it manifests itself out through you. You don't have to make it happen. You don't have to try to figure out, am I doing this? What am I doing this for? Who am I? Am I preaching for me? Am I preaching for you? No. I'm doing this because I'm ordained to do this. Whether you come or not, whether you stay or not. You know, I like you to stay, but you got to go. Thank you. Stop me from preaching. I'm going to do what I'm ordained to do, and you're going to do what you're ordained to do. Amen. Remember Judas and Jesus sitting there at the table together? Jesus said, Judas, go do what you must do quickly. Hurry up. I got work to do. Get it done. Revelation 3, he that has an ear, that is said for every church age. You've got to have an ear to hear. You've got to. You cannot eat the book if you don't hear the word. You hear the word, and by hearing the word, you're eating the book. And we're eating the entire book now. We're not sitting here with parts and pieces. That's why we don't have to figure it out. We know what it is. Saul, now I'm rushing because I'm getting ready to close. Saul was converted. Here he was on the road. He didn't know about God. He was trying to persecute the Christians. He was doing his thing, and he was about his own business in Acts chapter 9, and God smacked him down and said, why are you persecuting me? Paul got converted. When you get converted, you don't have to talk to nobody else about what you've got. I know what I've got. I knew what I had a long time ago. And when I thought I was the only one that had it, and I said, well, I can't say what I really think, but I was saying I wouldn't trade my shoes for nobody in this church. And back then, this church was packed. There's a lot of good people, songwriters and everything else. And I wouldn't trade my shoes for none of them. And you know what? They're not here now. Thank God I didn't trade my shoes. Listen to what Brother Branham said about Saul. We won't read about Saul, but I gave you the scripture. Young man like Saul, educated, smart. What an influence he had to the whole Christian world. He was sent as an apostle to the Gentiles when he met this Jesus in the pillar of fire. That day, knowing that he met Jesus in a pillar of fire that day, knowing that that was the same God that brought his people out of Israel, Israel out of Egypt. If you could meet that same God, that's the Bible manifested, proving that he's God, the vindication of him right on earth now. And that's his word is being made known. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What an influence you will be to your church. If you are really converted like Paul, you'll turn around and you'll be an influence to your church, to your community, to your entire, to everybody that you come in contact with. You'll be a changed person. You know, you'll be a changed person. Everybody will know it. You know, and it's not that you've got to try to convince somebody. You are who you are. You know who you are. You know why you're here. You know what's done. God's revealed this to you. It wasn't done by flesh and blood. And I'm going to go all the way down here to the bottom, eating a book. Brother Branham said, those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. They have thus said the Lord, or keep still. They know that it has to be God doing in them, doing it's God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. He did not complete all his works while he was in earthly ministry. So now in his work, now he works in and through the bride. She knows that, for it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do. But he will now fulfill through the bride, the work which he left for this specific time. We got a job to do, people. Nobody was able to take the book like we can. The entire book and eat it all and take it in. But you must do it. Saying, well, I don't know. I can't do. You know what? They said it right Wednesday night when they said the difference between Moses' ministry and Joshua's ministry. Moses' ministry was full of I can'ts. I'm not worthy. I can't. We can't take the land. We can't. That's what they did all the way through. Joshua's group was like, hey, why are we still here? I don't know why we're still here. I'm just waiting on that revelation. We're out of here. Remember we used to think, well, I hope I get to go to heaven. You don't think like that. We don't even think that way. We're like, when does it happen? When's it? Bombs dropping in Israel? Come on, Lord. Must be time. We're looking for it. We're wanting our mountain. We're wanting God to finish this thing up. We're not trying to stick around here for even more revelation. We know what it is. We've taken a book. We've eaten it. I personally went to the angel and said, "Give me that book." And you have to do the same thing. It ain't about a group of us walking up. Come on, let's go and talk to the angel.
No.
See, that's what Moses' group did. We want to go talk to God. So they all gathered. But no, it's an individual thing. You said, "I want that book. Give me that book. I want it." You got to want this thing. And if you want this thing, you can't want it any more than what God will give it to you.
Amen.
He'll give you more than what you even asked for.
Amen.
He'll take care of you.
Yes.
Take the book. Eat it. Don't doubt it. Not in this kind of time. When we got the full revelation laid before us, we need to take this thing and run with it, with all that lies within us. God help us to do so. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this word this morning that you've given us your book. And Lord, we had to come and ask you for it because we had to eat it. We can't go without eating it. And Lord, I have a desire for it. I want to. I'm longing for it. Every time you speak, I want to hear it. Every time you talk, I agree with it. I eat it. I take it in. And Lord, I don't want anything in this hour to slow me down. I don't want anything this hour to try to put any kind of doubt there. But I know in who I believe, and I'm fully persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him.
Amen.
Against that day. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this congregation that's pressing towards the mark. And Lord, help us to push it till we get the work done. You didn't get to finish everything in your day because it wasn't time. But now, Lord, it's time. And we want to take the book, eat it, and take that word and use it to fulfill everything that you saw from before the foundation of the world. I ask you to touch those out there that might be shaken, might be wondering, might not be sure. Lord, make them sure. Make them sure of what they have. Make their calling and election sure. That's what you ask us to do. And I ask you to help us to do so. As we move forward in the revelation, that we make sure we know what it is and not guessing. You've laid everything out and you've given us everything that we need now. Now let us use it for thy glory. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Come on, musicians. You got to eat it. No other way around it. Now, I got a notice from Brother Mike Twist about Bill's memorial. It's, I think, the 26th, 28th Sunday. It's a Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock. So I'm planning on going. Some of you younger don't even know him, so if you don't want to go, you're okay, but I'm going to go myself, and if someone wants to go, that's going to be the date. So keep their church in your prayer, and he's one of the founding fathers of that church, so just keep them in your prayers because it's a hard loss. Amen. Come back tonight at 7. Expecting, and we've got a lot going on. I don't know if they did the announcements. Did they do the announcements today? You want to do them now?
There's a lot of them. I know May 5th we're going up to Bluffton. It's about an hour and a half drive, so be early. Here we're leaving at 9. The men's fellowship was moved to May 4th
because of Elijah's this?
Graduation. That would help. Because there's a lot. July 20th is a church camping trip we got coming up. The women's fellowship's June 1st. So, and Brother Norod, he's coming Wednesday to preach. So, and Jada graduates May 24th at 4 p.m. I think it's her.
Kids practice this Thursday. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me. It says be flat. That, I don't know. That's what's in here. Be. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me. As I lift my hands to worship, as I lift my hands to worship and magnify your name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow. Yes, flow through me. Oh, that's all he wants to do. Flow through me. Flow through me. Holy Spirit, flow through me. I lift my hands to worship and I magnify your name. Flow through me.